I'm glad you at least you tuned in. I hope you feel better. I hope you didn't stay home because you didn't prepare yourself. But either way, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for praying. And also, thank you for giving online. It's a blessing to see that people take care of the work of the Lord here at New Beginnings. Do me a favor and turn your Bibles to the book of John. While you're turning to the book of John this morning, let's prepare our hearts for our giving. While you are preparing your heart for giving today and you're turning to the book of John, there are a couple of announcements there. One of them pertains to the dear sisters in the Lord. You will be gathering together on Friday for fellowship, for dinner, for a word. It'll be a good time in Jesus' name. Amen. As you walk out of church today, you will get, I can't believe that I'm saying this, the month of March newsletter. It's March already. Can I say happy birthday to all the wonderful people that were born in the month of March? Let's all say happy birthday to them. Yes, happy birthday for the month of March. Amen. So, this morning, I just want to share again before the ushers come the importance of what is going on in the world, but mainly what's going on in the church. God is getting ready to bring something very powerful and amazing to the body of Christ, and we're getting ready for that. Meanwhile, the world will be falling apart, and the world wants this and that, but without Jesus, they are not going to get anywhere. So this morning, let's thank the Lord that He is wanting to do great work in our lives. Amen? Ushers, would you please come? Thank you, Father God, for all the wonderful people who are giving online today. And I thank you for everyone here today that gives their time, their prayer, and their stewardship to the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord God, for using them. Thank you for using every one of us today. We thank you in Jesus' precious name for that. And everybody said amen and amen. Thank you, ushers, for helping me this morning. Book of John, how about we go to chapter 14? Book of John, chapter 14. I began the journey of helping the believers understand the Great Commission. Somebody say the Great Commission. That Great Commission is a mandate from Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. To that powerful Great Commission. I want to touch just a little bit about the commands of God. But I felt strongly this morning to kind of step back just a little bit, but still address that by reading John 14, verse 15. And I want the body of Christ to understand the difference. And the word of the Lord, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ says, if you love me, now everybody look over here for a moment. This is not about God loving you because you already know God loves you. There's no one on this earth can love you like God and take care of you like God. This is why our first relationship is with God. Amen. This is about us loving God. Notice what he says. If you love me, it's a challenge. It's a challenge because we know God loves us. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. He demonstrated his love for us while we were still out there. He died for us. We know that. That's powerful. That his love covers all the multitude. His love is amazing and powerful. There's no greater love. You can have love in so many fashions and definitions and understanding, but nothing like the love of God and how much he loves you. You can try to compare that love because you love your husband, you love your wife, you love your children, you love your grandchildren. Boy, don't we love our grandchildren? You see how I popped up a little bit? You see how much? That love is amazing, but it does not come close to the love that God has for you. Let's settle that this morning. There ain't nothing you can do to make God love you more, and there ain't nothing you can do to make God love you less. He loves you right where you are. He'll meet you right where you are. You don't have to change. All you have to do is say, God, here I am. Here's my heart. Here's my life. I need you. I need a new life. I need new beginnings. I need a new start. I need all these wonderful things to happen in my life. This is different. This says, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. Everybody look over here for a moment. There's hundreds of them in the Bible, but I found 38, and I'm going to spend 20 minutes on each one of them before we leave. Now that I've got your attention, I will briefly share with you some of those commands. They're not suggestions. If you feel like it, think about it, process it, pray about it, sleep on it. None of that. These are commands from God. They're not negotiable. They're not there for just to be there because they had some empty pages. They're there because they give us the substance that we need to be able to say, if you love me, Jesus says, keep my commandments. Amen? Father God, this morning again, we come to you. We come to you because we know you are our source, you are our strength, you are our everything. We know without you, we're not much. With you, we can conquer, we can overcome. And Father God, we know that our relationship with you is pure and real. It's an amazing relationship where we become one with you. And this morning, God, I know there's so much going on in the air and going on in the world. I pray that you give me the strength to put things in perspective of a better understanding why God has chosen us in the end times to be believers, to be Christians. God, may you get all the glory. May you get all the honor. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Again, if I may, there's a lot of wars going on. It just happened to be that we're part of it. Israel's part of it. All of what's taking place, I believe, is that the Bible is just being fulfilled. Luke 21, Matthew 24, Book of Revelation, it's amazing. So what we do know is that when Israel is involved, that it is a time to be aware, to be clear of what may be taking place in the world. Wars come and go. It just happens to be that we're part of it. And because of that, that puts it a little bit more at home. So we want to do one thing. Let's put our eyes on Jesus, not on the storm. Because whatever the enemy brought your way, whatever storm to break you, Almighty God, get this, Almighty God is going to use that storm to make you. Amen. And you, as you and I begin to understand that we're part of God's plan, we're part of God's purpose, we're part of God's understanding. And so it's exciting to know that this morning our focus is on Jesus, because our faith is built in the storms, not on the leaves or the sunshine. So whatever may be going on, we have to find our purpose. Somebody say purpose. Because purpose is the key. Everything works out for the good according to God's purpose and plan. Amen? The Word of God is so clear that He sent His Word to bring healing. This is why the enemy will do all he can to make sure you don't read the Bible, that you don't study the Bible, that you don't practice the Bible. The enemy will do everything possible to keep you so busy that you will not have revelation or not be able to get revelation from the Word of God. It's a challenge this morning, but it's a very powerful challenge because His Word is powerful. And that's a good place to say amen. Amen. I like the way the Word of God says about the Word. He sent out the commands to the earth that the words will run swiftly. That what you're seeing is you're seeing the hand of God not only in the world, but in every nation, but not only your home, but also your church, but also your life. I like the way Jeremiah puts it. Jeremiah puts it like this. Isn't not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? This word can do great healing in the name of Jesus Christ. No matter how old you are today, no matter where you are, you can be a student of the Word of God, and you can feel good that you stand up for the Word of God. Focus on Jesus, not the storm. One of the things that I think will be very helpful is that God is rebuilding. He's rebuilding our faith on the Word. All of our enemies come, and they come in different fashion and forms, from worry to fear to not keeping our eyes on Jesus Christ. So can you and I, this is important, can you and I trust God's plan? He's got a plan. He knows what He's doing. He's sovereign. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He is everywhere. This is exciting times for the body of Christ. And I keep saying that. I just need somebody to get a hold of it, that this is exciting times. This is not wasted times. This is times where we look at the very big picture. And the big picture is this. The big picture is this, that we must be sensitive to what the Spirit of God is saying to all of us. Can I trust God's plan? And we can all say yes. Why is that? Because one, He never changes. We change. We move. We decide. We don't want, or we do want. He never changes. That's good insight. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Can I trust God's plan? Yes, because He's all-powerful. The enemy has power, but he's not all-powerful. The enemy knows, but he doesn't know all things. Can I trust God's plan? Yes, because He's all-knowing. He knows us from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. He knows how much hair you lost when you took a shower this morning. In my case, I want some of that back. Are you with me this morning? Can we trust God's plan? And we can say yes, because he's always with me. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. No matter what is going on, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Can I trust God's plan? And we can say yes, because he's wise. I mean, he knows everything. We want his wisdom, not our wisdom. We want his knowledge, not our knowledge. We want his strength, not our strength. We want his understanding, not our understanding. That's difficult, because we live in a culture. We live in the world that says, be your own boss, be your own person, do whatever you want. But in our case, when we give our life to Jesus Christ, we surrender our will to his will. So one of your prayers this morning should be is, God, what is your will for my life? What is it that you want me to do? And I'm sharing these wonderful thoughts with each one of you, because can we trust God's plan? And we can say yes, because he's faithful. Man, I can stay there for 20 minutes. God is faithful. Even when we're not faithful, he's always faithful. Can we trust God's plan? We can say yes, because he's good. He's good all the time. Come on, somebody say it with me. He's good. He's good all the time. I saw a family member, some friends, that one of their family members passed away, and went to the funeral, and I looked at her, and she looked at me, gave her a hug, and she said something that just startled and changed me and helped me and strengthened me about perspective and about life and why this is important. And she said these words, you know what, Pastor Bobby? God is good. In the middle of her grieving and her loss, she was able to declare, God is good. Somebody say, God is good. Can we trust God's plan? And I know that I'm kind of being sensitive to all of us. Again, what may be going on, and everybody's got their thoughts and everybody's got their opinions, and everybody has their insight about what should we focus on. And I think what we should focus on, and I believe that it's right smack of what is going on, we've got to share the good news of Jesus Christ to people, because the Bible clearly says, if you love me, keep my commandment. Amen? If you love me, I love you. But do you love me? Can we get better in loving God? Amen? So can we trust God's plan? And this morning we are all saying yes, because he is love. Amen? I love the way the scripture puts it. It says, behold, let us love one another, for the love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And he who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Yeah. We're living in times where we got to show Jesus. It just breaks my heart. Let me just go ahead and say it right now. It breaks my heart that there's a lot of fighting going on with Christians of what we should do and what we should not do. Should we do this? Should we stand up for this? Should we do this riot? Should we do this? Should we do that? And I said, the best thing we can do is fall on our knees and pray and say, God, use me for your glory during this time. I know I drive through here on Saturday, and there's 50, 60 people just hollering. And more, you don't know how many times I've been tempted just to get out and smack one of them in the name. But I have to love them. I got to pray for them. Because there's ways to support and take care of what may be going on in the body of Christ. Can we trust God's plan? Yes, we can. Why? Because the Bible says he's merciful. He's loving kindness. Aren't you glad for his mercy? We deserve this, but he gave us this. We deserve this, but he gave us this. Thank God for what he gave us. He gave us grace and he gave us mercy. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Listen, I wanted to share that. Hopefully it encouraged somebody and helped somebody understand that, yes, these are trying times, but challenging times and exciting times. And I hope this morning that we will leave today knowing that God is in control, not us. We just got to do our part, and God will do his part. Amen? We just got to do our part, and God will do his part. I just think through it all, that any type of war, any type of warfare, you and I are always in warfare. You knew that, right? This is why you and I have to put on the armor of God. Let's kind of put that armor of God together, okay? Everybody put on the helmet of salvation. Say it out loud. I put the helmet of salvation. We got to know that we're saved and we're being used by God. We got to put on the breastplate of righteousness. We got to put on the breastplate of righteousness. And then we got to put on the belt of truth. Then we got to put on the shoes of peace, right? We proclaim peace. We share peace. We tell people we know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Prince of Peace, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen? And then you put on the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's why it's important. But here's what we forget, okay? Every morning before you leave your house, make sure you put on the shield of... Why? Because the fiery darts of the enemy come your way. Because you stand for something. You stand for something. You stand for something. You believe something. You hold on to something that is true. You're just not existing. You don't want just to exist. You want to make a difference. And how do we make a difference? We understand God's great commission. And we understand what John 14:15 says. If you love me, keep my commands. Amen? Father, as I take just a few minutes of teaching your word, what it looks like in the Bible, and as we speak just some of them, I pray that we are ministered by your word and we are strengthened by your word. Because without your word, Lord God, we don't have that substance and we don't have that power. We don't have that authority. So this morning, God, I thank you for your word in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. I found 38. There's a lot more. I'm just going to share a handful of them. Next Sunday, I'll share a little bit more. Probably next Sunday, share a little bit more. It's based on 38 commands of Jesus that should be in our hearts. I based the introduction to this on John 14:15. And out of John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Here's the first one. This is a commandment. Repent. According to Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, for the kingdom of God is near. Do you know that was Jesus' first message that he preached to the people? That is our first message. Remember, repentance is not a bad word. Repentance is not condemnation. Repentance is not, you're not mad. Repentance is a principle. It's a truth to say, run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. That's all that means. Repentance means is turn your life and let him be your Savior and your Lord. And if you're here this morning and you're struggling with having a relationship with Jesus, don't struggle. Just receive. Amen. Just accept. Just put him in your heart. It's a step of faith. Just believe it. I'm guaranteeing you, if you make that decision to follow Jesus Christ, it is the best decision that you will ever make. Amen? So the first commandment is repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Second, come and follow me. Matthew 4, verse 19. He's commanding us to come and follow Jesus. Don't follow a church. Don't follow a denomination. Don't follow a doctrine. Follow Jesus, because he wants to make you fisher of men. And because you follow Jesus, he wants to give you a new life. He wants to give you a new way. He wants to give you a new guidance. So come and follow. Third command that I found in the Bible is rejoice when you are being persecuted. Men on Tuesdays are going through Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And the next ones that I'm going to share with you are all found in Matthew chapter 5 and some of it in chapter 6. But they're powerful. Rejoice when the persecution comes in my name, because you will be persecuted for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You will be persecuted because of Jesus and what Jesus stands for. And the message of the cross, the message of the cross is not for everyone. They say, well, we can find God in 10 different ways. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except through Jesus Christ. Think about it for a moment. You're making a stand. You're making a proclamation. You're making a declaration. I follow Jesus, and you will be persecuted. I remember one time I stood up for Jesus in front of, there were supposed to be high-ranking people where they have these bunch of titles behind their name, and this simple little preacher is part of this meeting, and they all said to us, never, never say to a woman, to a person while they're here, that that baby in their stomach is a child, is a person. You say it's a fetus. And as best I could, with the grace and the mercy of God, because you got to remember, Pastor Bobby's been doing this for 40 years. 40 years. I've watched dedicating children 40 years ago. Now I'm dedicating their children. Pretty soon I'll be dedicating their children. But do you know that when they're in their mother's womb, they know your voice, they sense you, they know you. And when they hear my voice, when they're born and when they were kind of raised here, they look and say, hey, I know that voice. I've seen that. I've heard that voice before. And as lovingly as I could, I said, my brothers who have these degrees in psychiatry and psychology and doctrine and nurses and therapists and counselors, and here's this preacher that says, as far as I know, and you can go ahead and fire me if you want to, but you got to remember, they didn't fire me because I retired 32 years in that place, so I was there for 32 years. And I said, you know, as far as I know, that baby in the mother's womb is a real person, because they're developing, because the Bible says he knew us before we were born. Amen. 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 So you will be persecuted for the gospel's sake. These are just simple commands. Give me just a couple minutes and I'll put a closure to this. The first command is repent, for the kingdom of God is near. It's not a bad word. Let's keep running to Jesus. Let's keep getting better for Jesus, because we got room to improve. Can you say amen? Come and follow me. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoice when you are persecuted for my name, because of the gospel, because of Jesus, and because of the message of the cross. And I'll leave you with this one. Let your light shine before all people. Be like Jesus. and you're wondering, how can I be like Jesus? I want to encourage you that on Wednesday night, I'm starting a new series, is How to Be Like Jesus. If you don't know how to be like Jesus, maybe we can take some time on Wednesday and help somebody learn how to be an example and to be like Jesus Christ. Be reconciled to one another. Support. Be there in Jesus' name. That would be number 5. Sister, would you come to the piano? And I'll leave you with number 6. Take sin very seriously. The scripture says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Amen. I'm believing that confessing our sins is healthy, powerful, real, needed, because we live in a dirty world, don't we? We live in a dirty world, and we got to be cleansed and washed. This word came to me, and it may just be for one person, and that's okay if it's just for one person. Sometimes we got to go and do some spiritual cleansing, just like we did physical cleansing. Some of us need to go and just be, say, God, I want to do spiritual cleansing. What does that mean, Pastor? I'll close with this. What that means is sometimes in your relationship with God, things or teachings or sayings get in us that's not Bible. It doesn't even come close to the scriptures. And that's what I think it means about spiritual cleansing. Let him purify your heart. Let him cleanse you. That you have the pure, powerful word in you. If you love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments. We've never thought they were commandments. We just read them in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, but they're commandments. And that's why I believe if we love him, let's tell the world about him. Let's not keep it to ourselves. Let us not be selfish. Let us share how wonderful and how precious Jesus Christ is. Somebody say amen. Thank you, Lord. We ask that you would bless the month of March like no other. In the name of Jesus Christ. Be with our families. Bring healing, Lord. Bring strength to us. Keep us strong in you, Lord. Let us keep our eyes on you, not the storm. No matter what kind of storm the enemy brings, God's going to take that storm and heal you. Teach us to trust you, Lord God, and believe in your word, to stand in your word. Oh God, in Jesus' precious name, oh God, thank you. As every head bowed and every eyes closed, just one more little simple thought for you this morning. I think many of us are at this stage. We're here. We got to take care of our minds. Got to keep them strong by putting on the mind of Christ and renewing our minds. How do we do that? Because the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. Take a moment before you begin to overthink. Learn how to identify your thoughts. Is that from God? Is that from the world? Is that fear? Compare the scriptures. That's not the Bible. This is the Bible. Every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Begin to reject what's not true. That's not true. Because truth sets people free. Declare life out loud. God, you're good. You're amazing. You're my divine healer. You're my support. You're my strength. God, today teach us how to praise instead of worry. Teach us how to count our blessings, what we have control of and what we don't have control of, Lord God. And those areas that we don't have control, we give them to you, Lord God, this morning. But today, God, let us guard our mind with a serious understanding. Teach us how to remind, teach us how to renew our minds daily, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for every believer today and everyone that's watching online today. Hey, let's keep our eyes on Jesus, not the storm. If we love him, we'll follow his beautiful word, and we see the hand of God in our lives.